world. Bizarre, yet predictable. Trump is either the luckiest guy in the world, or this country was built for rich men like him to thrive. Two things can be true. Only in America can a case against a white man trying to overthrow an election morph into a debate over a black woman's consensual relationship and the vacations she took. Judge McAfee said Willis's romantic relationship raised the appearance of impropriety. He pointedly concluded that an odor of mendacity remains. He also described Willis's January speech before an historic black church in Atlanta as legally improper because she accused her critics of playing the race card by questioning her right to appoint Wade. What does that have to do with the RICO case against Trump and his co-defendants, you ask? Oh, right, nothing. Except that Judge McAfee, like Fannie Willis, is up for re-election. He faces primary challengers. And for a conservative judge, one who already reduced the number of counts against Trump last week, and who, as part of his re-election media tour, appeared last week on a talk radio show hosted by a conservative Trump fan while we were all awaiting his decision. No odor of mendacity there, I suppose.
Jeff, I mean, the judge's opinion was a scathing rebuke of Willis, her judgment. He wrote that the reasonable questions remain about whether Willis and Wade testified untruthfully about the timing of their relationship. I mean, that's...
Today was a very good day for Donald Trump. This case is going nowhere. Even if, in the extremely unlikely event that this somehow staggers to trial in August or in the fall, think about this. There's another racketeering case in Georgia where jury selection, not the trial, jury selection has taken a year. This case is never going to trial before the election. You know, it's an embarrassment, all of this. I mean, Fannie Willis has hung on, but this case is going nowhere very quickly.
I mean, if you can't give Trump an outright win by throwing out the case, since the law gives you no reason to do that, what better way to still be helpful than to give Trump and his right-wing media friends some talking points? I mean, he couldn't find anything unlawful about Fannie Willis and her consensual relationship. So instead, he festooned his decision with gratuitous critiques of her behavior, tone policing her attitude and level of black lady sassiness, uppityness, you might say. Certainly helpful for his political future and certainly helpful for Trump and the right wing slime machine who can continue to try to make this case about Fannie Willis. If I'm being honest, it's giving special counsel Robert Hur, the self-declared Republican prosecutor who threw in gratuitous personal critiques of President Biden's memory and age like an amateur neurologist while explaining his decision not to prosecute him for keeping classified documents. Like Mr. Hur, Judge McAfee put a right-wing spin on his decision that didn't need to be there. And it rose like a delicious foam for the MAGA cult to devour. Today, America is breathlessly debating Fannie Willis and not the adjudicated sexual abuser who defrauded banks and insurers, stole classified information and hid them in his bathroom and under his bed, and who is dogged by $500 million in legal debt that his brokest voters will pay for him, and who still, despite all of that, faces zero accountability in America, clearly, which was built for men like him.
Point, I think it's important to put up on the screen what Project 2025 has said, because I think Donald Trump's change is because of this. Look at the second one. It says entitlements. Our deficit problem is a Medicare and Medicaid problem. Then they talk about abortion. They say abortion is not health care. Abortion pills, singles greatest threat to unborn children. Minority rights. I think they're talking about
just
us.
Just delete terms, or do you mean delete people?
I mean, it's crazy. Education, Ukraine. So Trump campaign officials have said there's no one else putting together our policy. We're doing our policy. But if you look at, if you juxtapose the things that Donald Trump and many of his allies are saying with what is in this Project 2025, they add up. I do believe that while people, yes, feel like they know who Donald Trump is, they feel like they know who Joe Biden is, what they are planning to do is very, very important, because these are two different kind of presidencies.
No, I agree. And I do think there will be a difference in terms of how the Trump presidency will be staffed, the Trump administration will be staffed this time versus last time, in that there will not be adults in the room the same way that there were at the beginning of the Trump. I've written about this. You know, that Project 2025 is being assembled because conservatives looked at the first Trump term and realized that it was too disorganized. He didn't know what he was doing. And so, you know, the kind of ethos of the second Trump administration will be staff the entire federal government with people who are Trump loyalists, who either see the world like he does or are willing to obediently implement his worldview without question to, you know, guidelines or precedent or democratic norms.
This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot. All these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
It's Saturday, 16 March, in the year of our Lord, 2024. You saw some of the duck and cover from the funny Willis of bombshell yesterday. That's only getting worse. Tubin on CNN, hey, this thing's over. It's going nowhere. As they scramble now to try to figure out, they had planned on President Trump being found guilty on some of these show trials. That's all crashing before them, so they got to go to a plan B. Plan B, and if Denver could put up in the lead story in the Hill this morning, is how the Biden regime is scrambling. This is where the Democrats are scrambling to put together the coalition of 2020. Here's what's evident. They never got 81 million votes. That was all phony. That election was stolen. We're going to show it's funny this time because they're not going to come anywhere close to 81 million votes. They're going to have every excuse in the world why they didn't get it. But it's very interesting. In this article, they talk to people associated with the campaign. They say, hey, we're not trying to grow the base, because they understand the numbers related to the lived experience of the American people are so horrific. They can't. They're going to try to regroup, and their big focus is going to be Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania to try to hold those. Well, we know what's going on in Michigan with the Muslim population around Dearborn and, of course, all the leftists at the University of Michigan, the other universities. So they're in a mad scramble to try to, as they say, reorganize that base vote they got, particularly in the African-American community. I mean, they're pretty open about this in this article of what they're trying to do. That is going to be an epic failure. That's not going to win those states. They're not going to win Arizona, not going to win Georgia. So they know they've got a problem. Also, they're going to be outed for this steal, because they're not going to come anywhere close to 81 million votes, and they're going to have to, as we get the next Congress, to really focus where they should have been focused this time on adjudicating the 2020 steal, because that's going to be adjudicated. Don't think that, but first of all, President Trump is obviously going to do this once he's back in office. It has to be done. You can't have an election stolen like that, and all the catastrophic consequences have come from this, and look the other way. It's one of the worst, if not the worst, scandal in American political history. And now you see these guys, they're open about it. They don't have the votes. They don't have the vote. They're not going to come close to 81 million votes. And people are starting to ask the question, well, hang on for a second. How is it that you got 81 million votes last time? And people say, oh, Bannon, don't live in the past. This is the now, the here and now, because this is about the election of 2024 and about how we win, and how we win overwhelmingly. Add seats to the House, take the Senate, win governorships, state legislatures, full spectrum dominance by MAGA, which should have happened with the 74 million votes in 2020. This is the central issue of the day. Where are the votes? Look at your policies, these radical policies you've had. We're going to get into that today, these radical policies. But lawfare is crumbling. This is Jeff Tubin. He's a known Trump hater. Known Trump hater with Anderson Cooper in primetime. Quote, I can play that all day. The case is going nowhere. They're actually going to move. There's a report out this morning. I haven't had a chance to look at it. They're already filing complaints against her at the bar. They're going to come at her. She's going to be fending off going to jail. for all the lies she told, she and her boyfriend, Wade, the prosecutor. They're crushed. Andrew Weissman's, I mean, the biggest Trump haters out there are admitting this thing's going nowhere. This is why they even got the 30-day delay, at least in the New York trial, because of, guess what? I guess the Southern District of New York, the feds have been hiding stuff from Bragg had the information, hasn't fully put it out. That's a very convoluted story. Exactly what's going on there. They're grasping at straws now. Remember, they always knew they couldn't beat Trump. First of all, they never expected Trump ever to come back from the political dead. He did come back bigger than ever, as we said, from the very, you know, from the moment he left the tarmac before noon on the 20th of January, 2021. This audience always had his back and said, hey, this thing was just stolen. What do you mean? He's got to come back. Thank God in heaven he had enough patriotism in him to do it. He didn't have to do it, but he knew it was stolen. Look, don't ask me. Look, read the, if Mo and Grace, Carly Bonet and others, our team over at Telegram, if you can push it out in all the chat rooms, the Getter chat rooms, people in Getter put, and particularly the rough and tumble crowd at Rumble. Push it out. Push out that lead story in the Hill. Read it. That's not Steve Bannon saying it. That's insiders of the Biden campaign. They're in panic mode. They understand if you look at the crosstabs, all these states, it's horrific. They had always planned on lawfare taking him down. That's all crumbling around them. Now they actually have to go out and make the case for why they should have, after stolen the first, why they should have a second term. And as you see the rejuvenation, Scott Pressler hired yesterday at the RNC. Now, the RNC thing's not perfect, but directionally, I'd like what I'm seeing. It could be a lot better, but I like what I'm seeing so far. Think I would recommend a bigger purge and a faster purge, but hey, Scott Pressler's there, Laura Trump's there. They're going to hire some other guys on election integrity, Christina Bob. There are going to be other people on election integrity. The Democrats understand they're not going to be they're going to try to steal it, but we're going to make it much harder this time. And the crosstabs, you look at the numbers, they're absolutely horrific for Biden. This is what they're saying. This is what they're saying. And now you're going to see the policies. We're going to have Benzman up here in a moment. And Todd Benzman, once again, has done a brilliant job of connecting dots because he's been there and you've had the pleasure of his company on the show for the last couple of years. But he's been there. He's going to connect some dots to Haiti. The latest fiasco in this invasion of the country, an invasion that was planned and organized from the very beginning. Remember, the first things he did on that afternoon is President Trump was flying back to Mar-a-Lago. The very first things he did was about the border, to rescind all the executive orders President Trump had and then to add some of his own. Why? They had thought this through. And remember at the time we were talking about the cabinet, the real neo-Marxist radicals weren't simply in the guys they had to take to the to get confirmed. It was those second and third tier radicals. We talked about these cabinet positions. We talked about what was going into these agencies, particularly DHS. This ties back to the fight we're going to have coming up next week. Why should we approve the DHS? Why should we, Congress, why should Republicans approve the DHS budget? It's got all the woke and weaponized in there. Every aspect of the invasion is still baked in there. Almost none of it's been taken out. Virtually none of it's been taken out. Why should we approve that? We should not approve it. We should force Biden to the table, cut off. And I'm not saying Johnson has the ability to secure the border. He does not. But he has the leverage to force Biden to secure the border. But they know they've got a problem. The one problem is the African-American community has awakened to the fact that, hey, this invasion is targeting them. This invasion, because they blame at the Federal Reserve and Treasury, they blame the wages of the working class as one of the problems of inflation. Of course, that's nonsense. But the wealthy donors who control the Democratic Party and the Uniparty have always, it's always been a bone of contention. One, wages of working people. Number two, your $1,200 a month Social Security check and a little bit of Medicare you get. That's their big bones of contention. That's it. Okay, we're going to get into all of this morning and much, much more. We'll take a short commercial break. We're going to be back. Make sure you get some Warpath coffee. I'm jacked up. Are you? Warpath.coffee/war room. Get your discount. Get the dark roast. Back in a moment. For War Room veterans, you know we have been all over this supply chain issue with China and medications and the active pharmaceutical ingredients. China has a stranglehold on us where there's a way to break that. Jace Medical. I got an emergency medication kit from them. The FDA just declared a global shortage of medication and warned that critical antibiotics are in extreme short supply across the United States. But you know that because you're a viewer or listener of the show. Now, here's the action you can take to correct. Do yourself and your family a favor and get your Jace case right now. It's a pack of five prescription antibiotics you'll have on hand for common emergencies. Just visit jacemedical.com. That's Jace, J-A-S-E, jacemedical.com. Take a few minutes and fill out the form. Your information will be reviewed by a board-certified physician, and your medication will be dispensed by a licensed pharmacy at a fraction of the regular cost. You'll be glad you have the Jace case. Go to Jace Medical. That's one word, J-A-S-E, medical.com, and enter code Bannon at checkout for a discount on your order. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, medical.com. You know what the problem is because you've watched the show. You can break, you can take action and break that problem by going to Jace Medical and get your Jace case today. Action, action, action.
The judge's opinion was a scathing rebuke of Willis, her judgment. He wrote that the reasonable questions remain about whether Willis and Wade testified untruthfully about the timing of their relationship. I mean, that's...
Today was a very good day for Donald Trump. This case is going nowhere. Even if, in the extremely unlikely event that this somehow staggers to trial in August or in the fall, think about this. There's another racketeering case in Georgia where jury selection, not the trial, jury selection has taken a year. This case is never going to trial before the election. You know, it's an embarrassment, all of this. I mean, Fannie Willis has hung on, but this case is going nowhere very quickly.
Okay, you see it right there. And Weissman yesterday said this is the strongest case they've got. Andrew Weissman, the person that's been obsessed with hunting President Trump from the very beginning, the guy in back of the Russiagate thing, one of the main architects of it. He was apoplectic. So what does this mean? This means they're going to continue to come with lawfare, but now it's kind of game on, head to head, and now they've got to regroup. Go read the Hill piece. They're in panic that they've got to regroup, and they know they have to win Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, which they stole last time. They stole it. I'm proud of saying that. They absolutely stole it. This is not even a question. They laugh at you on the other side if you're one of those, say, oh, you know, there's maybe some irregularities, or that to me has always been the railhead. If you don't believe the election was stolen, I don't know why you're here. I don't know why you're here. It's absolutely central to the arc of the story. I didn't say that. It was Maggie Haberman and Jonathan Swan, two of the best reporters out there for the New York Times. I realize they come with a slant, but they follow President Trump very closely. And they said in that article a couple weeks ago, if President Trump had done what all the Republican establishment begged him to do and just admit that he had lost, say, I'll get him next time, all that, he wouldn't be where he is today. That's 100% correct. Because his base knew it was stolen, and that was the galvanizing event that gave him that foundational element that he needed to come back against all odds, including the main one was the Murdochs saying, sending the email, old man Murdoch, send the email to the people at Fox, we're going to make him a non-person. It's not that we're going to lessen the coverage. It's not that maybe we're going to give coverage to more people. It's not that we're, maybe not going to cover speeches, or he goes to CPAC in Orlando, or maybe not cover it wall to wall. We may not do town halls down in Mar-a-Lago with him for a while. We're going to make him a non-person. That was the odds he was against. And why is he back now? Because he knew in his heart this thing was stolen. And he knew that all this evil emanated from that. it emanates from that. That in the film business, when you're thinking of a script or you're pitching a story, it's the inciting incident. That's what it's called. Maybe 20 minutes into the movie, may take place, you know, halfway through the first act. The inciting incident may take place in before the credits roll. The inciting incident is the big steal. And this is now they're in a panic. You know where they're in a panic? They're going to be exposed. Do you think they're going to get 81 million votes? Are you kidding me? And then people start asking the question. When they get, you know, 64 million votes, people are going to say, well, hey, whoa, where are those other 20 million votes? How did that happen? Oh, all those people were all worked up on the summer of love and they were all hating on Trump. And that's it was all because of, you know, COVID. That's all a lie. And maybe a couple of 100,000 either way. It was stolen. And we're living with the consequences of that steal. In the three converging crises, the crisis of the invasion of the country, the crisis of the finances of the country, and the crisis occurring in the around the rim of the Eurasian landmass, the kinetic part of the Third World War, which we're stumbling into every day. Let's go to Todd Bensman. Todd, and you've done, as Todd Bensman always does. By the way, Todd, did you get your – I just want to make sure you got your Warpath coffee. You're set to go this morning because, you know, I had one or three text messages and maybe a couple of emails saying that Todd have his Warpath yesterday. Do you have your Warpath? Are you fully caffeinated? You ready to hit it today?
Yeah, I am. I only have a quarter of my bag left that you gave me, so I'm using it.
We're shipping one out tonight. You're getting it FedEx. Okay, Todd, can we please put up the cover of Todd Bensman's book? Because I want to go back on why on the 16th of March in the year of our Lord 2024, we've got Marines getting ready to go to Haiti. We've got DeSantis calling up law enforcement. We've got, people in Florida panic that, you know, hundreds of thousands of Haitians are going to come to Florida. We have a migrant young girl, 15 years old, raped in a hotel, in a motel funded by NGOs with a Haitian illegal alien alleged raping her. All this befell us. What is the cover of that book? Tell me what that, and for our podcast and radio audience, this is why you have to go to word.org and sign up for the daily newsletter, because this is where you get the video and the pictures. What is that picture of, sir? That photo on the cover of your book?
That is the Del Rio migrant camp crisis at its peak, September 2021. Great photo shot by Auden Cabello, who lives in Acuna, right across from there. That photo is significant to the book because there's a whole chapter about the crisis. But within the book also are revelations that crisis in Del Rio, Texas, led the Biden administration to make decisions that scuttled Haitians' democracy, Haiti democracy, left the dictator in place.
Hang on. Don't get ahead of the story. The picture of Del Rio, that is Del Rio, Texas. That is about as far away as Haiti as you can get. That's Del Rio, Texas. Yeah. And that migrant camp is what that was the inciting incident on this whole illegal alien invasion of our country. That's when the whole nation woke up and said, whoa, what's happening? Biden realized they had a PR problem. They had an optics problem immediately. That camp rattled inside the Biden regime, not to change their policies, but they had to change the optics of their policies. And they went to all those things that you've gone through and documented over time. But what did they do specifically to Haiti? They couldn't take the optics of Haitians coming across a bridge from Mexico into Del Rio, Texas, and then waiting under that bridge. And, you know, bad old Texas Rangers were using lassos to round them up and all those other lies they had. Those optics were going to destroy Biden in the midterms, destroy his illegitimate regime, and force him out of the office he had usurped in November of 2024, sir. So tell me what they did.
That's right. So this was a year before the midterms. Everybody was thinking already, you know, how we're in the campaign season for the midterm elections 2022. This thing is just growing by leaps and bounds. Thousands more were on the way. They had to do something dramatic and deterring to liquidate that camp. What they came up with was deportation flights, ICE Air, putting thousands of them on flights back to Port-au-Prince, which is the most horrifying thing that any of these Haitians could contemplate, because they had spent tens of thousands of dollars getting this far. They thought they were on the cusp of getting into the U.S., but the administration needed, in order to do deportation flights like Trump, you have to have permission from the receiving country. At that time, you had Dr. Ariel Henry as the provisional prime minister of Haiti. The former president had just been assassinated the month before, and there were big elections coming up where he might get swept out and somebody else might get put in for Haiti. They were going to have their first parliamentary elections, their first legit presidential elections in 2 months. But the Biden administration is worried about the 2022 elections, and they had to get rid of this camp right away. And that's what they did.
What? Tell me what they. How did they do? What did they do again to get rid of the camp?
Well, the first thing they did was they had the State Department scuttle Haiti's elections. Remember, this was going to be their very first elections, their first presidential in years and years. That was seen by the international community as the first necessary step to set Haiti up for stability, for real governance, for going forward. Instead, Biden administration needed that camp gone, so they scuttled Haiti's elections to get permission to deport them into Port-au-Prince. That's what happened. They killed those elections out 2 months beforehand. They deported a whole bunch of Haitians there. Everything was fine, and now we're seeing what happened as a result. Had they had those elections, had they elected a new president and a parliament, a lot of what we're seeing probably would not have happened at all. But the administration did do this, and I have that from his own envoy to Haiti in an interview in that book describing everything that happened. He was so angry about it that he resigned office ahead of these elections. He saw these elections getting scuttled for a short-term political gain for the administration, and he couldn't take it, and he quit. As a result, nobody told this story. I called him up and did a long interview with him, and he laid it all out for me. He goes, they came in and they just killed these elections that everybody had been working for years to finally get Haiti on track for a short-term political gain. I couldn't take it. I quit.
Todd, hang on for 1 second. I want to hold you through the break. We have more to drill down. Your book is so prescient, and it's ironic you use the exact cover of the Haitians at the International Bridge of Del Rio. Birchgold.com/Bannon. See the turbulence in Haiti? Well, you've got turbulence here in the United States. We've allowed 9 to 10 million illegal alien invaders into our nation. Stopping the flow and then new mass deportations, I think that's going to be a little turbulent. Birchgold.com/Bannon. Check it out today. Talk to Philip Patrick and the team. The apples in your holiday pie taste amazing, but it's not exactly the recommended 5 servings of fruits and vegetables. The Mayo Clinic says if you want to help prevent heart disease, lower blood pressure, and your cholesterol, eat 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day, which, as you know, is almost impossible. That's why you need to check out Field of Greens. Every fruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was medically selected by doctors to support your vital organs, like your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, and your immune system. Yo, folks, the holidays are here and you need to stay healthy. Plus, you'll notice your skin, hair, and nails will look healthier. Field of Greens is the simplest way to get those daily fruits and veggies, and it tastes amazing. Let me get you started with 15% off your first order. Visit fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code Bannon. That's promo code Bannon at fieldofgreens.com. fieldofgreens.com. Make sure you take it today. Use your agency. Action, action, action. fieldofgreens.com, promo code Bannon.
Your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Here's why I'm proud of the staff, my great production team that helps do the show, and the people we have on. Remember, I keep saying I have the easiest job in the world. All I have to do is sit in front of a microphone. Of course, look beautiful for you guys, right? I realize the ones watching on TV. And talk about, get the smartest people in the world to talk about topics I'm very interested in that I think are important to an audience that thirsts for this kind of knowledge and takes it and uses it in their personal life, professional life, and for saving their country. That's about as easy a job as I've ever had in my life. Todd Bensman, we're talking, that's the 16th of March. It's the eve of St. Paddy's Day. It's the day after the Ides of March. And we're here on the Saturday show, as you guys know, my favorite, because it's a little less hectic than the shows we have during the week, because there's so much news to cram in, signal, and also to be able to do analysis and observations to make sure that it's properly covered. Todd Bensman, this story, not only in the book, he's got the cover, and the book goes into detail. Todd, correct me if I'm wrong, was it not 2 years ago you had the lead story, a cover in the New York Post, and essentially talked about this exact same thing? I mean, everything that's happening now, Todd Bensman has been on for a couple of years and told you exactly what was going to happen.
Late 2022, the New York Post excerpted my book and put it on the cover about this whole episode, that Biden was setting Haiti up for what we're seeing right now by scuttling all of its planned elections that they needed to have for any chance at stability. And they never got those elections to this day. And now the guy that they installed as the de facto dictator is out running. I mean, he's been deposed. And you have post-apocalyptic gangs, running the country. They're not really even running the country. It's just gangs occupying and raping and marauding. So it's failed. And I think it's because of what Joe Biden did in Del Rio, Texas.
Hang over a second. You see that Del Rio, Texas, the optics of that, not the reality of it, the optics of it they had to get rid of. That's where they panicked. That's where they essentially deposed, they didn't want to have elections, which everybody in the international community said, hey, democracy, 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 got to have elections. Let me connect two other dots for you. Why was Steve Bannon brought into the campaign in August of 16? One of the reasons at Breitbart, we had specialized in going after the Clinton apparatus, and particularly Hillary Clinton for what a phony she was. Peter Schweitzer, we had worked on this book, Clinton Cash, and then I had made a film about it. That film had just come out, wait for it, the first week of August, that goes into detail of all the horrific things the Clintons did around the world, from uranium and all of it, horrific. The one that struck people as the most egregious was the money they stole down in Haiti and God knows whatever else they did. That is what really, it was so egregious what they had done with the Clinton Foundation after the earthquake down there, right? After the earthquake, and to steal money and to back the warlords and the worst people down there and all kind of other stuff that's virtually unmentionable. Now, think about it also, the taking down in 14 of the government. And look, a government that was not full of Jeffersonian Democrats, let's say, a government that had a lot of bad elements in it that was backed by the KGB and Putin. But it was still elected, although the election was called into question. It was still elected government, taken down by Victoria Nuland and the apparatus of Hillary Clinton's, State Department in, wait for it, Ukraine. Okay, and they set up a whole series to lead to the dictator they have today, Zelensky. Because Zelensky, last time I looked, today in Russia they're voting, and I understand that's not what we would consider a free and fair election. But Zelensky's canceled everything. That's these Democrats. These Democrats, they want democracy and talk about democracy, and we're the anti-democratic guys. Although we're the ones that don't want the government spying on anybody, right? We don't want the government. We don't want the FISA. They are pushing this. So no, when it's inconvenient for them, they'll take out the democratically elected people in a second when it's to their advantage. This Haitian thing sinks to high heaven because Todd Bensman, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm gonna connect another dot. It seems to me in your reporting that the whole parole system and the flights to get people back in the country that we now know have shipped in 138,000 Haitians, including the alleged rapist in the motel in Massachusetts of the underage 15-year-old girl was all started about this time, too, because they didn't want any – they couldn't have the optics of the Haitians coming across the Del Rio Bridge and living under that bridge until they could get bussed into the heart of the country. That optic looked bad for them. So they went about and did it in another sneaky way. Let's fly them in. Let's fly over 100,000 in, and let's fly them deep into the country, to Pennsylvania, to JFK, to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Sir.
The administration has always kind of had it out for Haitians after that camp. The administration created two parole programs. When I say parole, I mean you're supposed to – the INA says you can let two or three in a year or something on a case-by-case basis, but they expanded this to just encompass hundreds of thousands of people all at once, including Haitians. You could apply on an app or have somebody in the U.S. apply for you, and then you input your information on the app, and it's managed. And then you can cross over a land port with permission, or you can get authorization to be flown in, to fly in. And at least 140,000 Haitians have flown in under that program. They just don't want them crossing in illegally over the bridge, or and that's what it is. And so, yes, one of the Haitians has now been charged with aggravated sexual assault, raping a female minor, a child, in a migrant hotel in Massachusetts, Rockland, Massachusetts. His name is Corey Alvarez. He's pleaded not guilty, but the administration is assuring all of us about this flights program that I've just been reporting about at length, that don't worry, everybody is vetted for criminal history. They're all clean. Everybody's great. Don't worry about it. But who can say that you can ask the Haitian government to give us a criminal intelligence feed or criminal history on anybody there? The answer is no, they can't. It's a pre-modern failed state. Now it's a failed state. It was always a failing state. So most of those hundreds of thousands are not really vetted, and neither are the Venezuelans that they're flying in, or the Cubans, or the Nicaraguans, or anybody else from Central America and Ecuador. They're just not able to do that. And now we have a rape, an alleged rape in Massachusetts, and I venture to say that he didn't. If he did this, it wasn't the first time. He probably, rapists don't just do it the first time and get caught. I'm going to bet that there just simply was no criminal history to check, and they flew him right in, and probably others. And one other thing about them, they're not telling us the names of the departure airports or the arrival airports, but the Fox News report told us that he was able to fly from Port-au-Prince right out of Haiti directly to JFK. You hear that, New York? New York. That he flew into New York and then moved to Boston, and they're probably flying him into Logan as well.
You know, when I worked with President Trump in the campaign, we went to Little Haiti in Miami, and I've never seen a level of anger against Hillary Clinton I saw with the Haitian community there. They hate the Clintons like they hate the Bidens. The reason it's a failed state is because of the Clinton and Biden regime's involvement in making it a failed state. Okay, they've been stealing money down there forever. They don't care about those people. And when they become inconvenient, they'll do anything to hide what's going on. Now, here's what you're going to see over the next couple of days. Todd, the flotillas are coming. Your reporting from senior people inside of Customs and Border is that we've been told not to have Navy ships there, to turn them back to Port-au-Prince, to repatriate them immediately. The Coast Guard is going to be as escort ships. I know Governor DeSantis is trying to put some law enforcement up, but that's going to be putting your finger in the dike. I guess they've now decided, because the optic will be terrible, to send them to Guantanamo. Right, but Guantanamo is just going to be a way station. I know you and I may disagree about this. To me, that's a way station to parole them into the United States, because that'll be viewed as essentially as close to U.S. territory as you can get. But my point is, the Biden regime will do anything they can to allow as many Haitians to get in here as possible, as long as they can solve the optics problem, sir.
Right. What Biden does next matters with this flotilla. Remember, the migrant camp under the Del Rio Bridge, how they reacted against that. Well, they're looking at this the same way in a presidential year. You know, flotillas, those are, you know, international cameras just are in love with that optic, just looking for that. So if the administration lets them all hit in the Florida Keys, he's going to have a big election problem. And so I think what's shaping up is that they're going to divert them over to Guantanamo Bay for eventual, quote unquote, repatriation. They're saying they'll be subject to repatriation. They're not saying we're going to repatriate them back to Haiti, that they face repatriation. Those are very important wriggle room words, escape hatch words. I won't be surprised if they end up in Guantanamo Bay and that the administration arranges a private way for them to get into the U.S., a less visible way, which are those flights program, that those flights programs that I'm telling you about right now. They can put them on flights for parole into the United States, and nobody's the wiser. You can't see this. They won't tell us the airport. You can't tell a Haitian coming from Guantanamo Bay from anybody else. And I want to point out one other thing that's a problem with that. While that might get rid of the optics, the very first boats, these are sailboats, appear to be filled with gang members. A boat that was caught just the other day was like filled with drugs and weapons and bad guys. You know, they just freed hundreds and hundreds, thousands of prisoners from Haitian prisons. Anybody who's got resources, who've been stealing stuff and, you know, pillaging, has resources to get passage on these boats. And since we can't vet them for security at Guantanamo or anywhere else, and we're going to fly them into the U.S., that's something to watch, too. We could have more rapists coming in, or worse, coming in these, if they're the first ones on those boats.
Todd, what you're working on this thing for Claremont, when do you expect to have it up, and where can people go get the book? Because you laid it out a couple of years ago. And by the way, not just Haiti, across the board. The book is overrun. It's one of the most prescient books ever written by the great Todd Bensman. Where do people go to get your writing, how they get the book, and when is Claremont going to come out?
Right. The book is available anywhere books are sold, you know, Barnes & Noble, at your local bookstore. Just look it up and order it. There's an audio version, too. The story of what I'm talking about here is now come to fruition. I mean, everything that is in the book was kind of predicting that there would be a collapse because they voided these elections. You know, I don't think this would be happening if they had had it. Now, Haiti had lots of problems systemically before this, but this is catalytic, what they did in 2021. You can follow me at toddbensman.com. I'm writing rewriting a piece about this for Claremont for the American Mind magazine. They should have that up in a few days.
Todd Bensman, thank you so much. I'm glad you had your Starbucks. You came in firing off the football this morning, brother.
All right, man. Thanks.
Warpath Coffee. We're going to get some more to Todd. Warpath.coffee/warm. Get your discount. Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers and you don't. You'll pay up plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on. Grind you for all your back taxes, plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse.
Before ChatGPT came out, the U.S. government commissioned an assessment of the risks to national security from advanced AI on the path to human-level AI, or artificial general intelligence, as it's sometimes called. Now, that assessment was also to include an action plan to address those risks. Now, Gladstone has just finished performing that assessment. Our team worked for over a year and talked to more than 200 people, from top executives at Frontier AI Labs to cybersecurity researchers, WMD experts, and some of the most senior national security officials in the United States and around the world. We also met informally with some of the most knowledgeable individuals inside the world's most advanced AI labs, some of whom spoke to us on condition of anonymity. Now, this is the first assessment of its kind, and it's informed by an unprecedented level of access, not just to Frontier Labs, their researchers, and even their CEOs and other executives, but also to an unparalleled range of U.S. national security officials, from the White House to working-level experts at the top of their fields. And along the way, we learned some sobering things. Behind the scenes, the safety and security situation in advanced AI seems pretty inadequate relative to the national security risks that AI may introduce fairly soon. Frontier AI Labs are publicly saying that they think they might be able to develop artificial general intelligence, or AGI, within the next 5 years. And privately, many researchers are telling us they see much shorter timelines as plausible.
Okay, I want to connect a bunch of dots here. We're having a serious adult conversation this morning about reality and what's really going on. And I think I've got it up on Getter. On Semaphore this morning was a story deeply reported by Semaphore about how the United States is moving ahead of China in the race for artificial intelligence. Now, on one level, people say, well, that's great. That's like an arms race. We want to be ahead of the CCP. Remember, we're the number one leading take down the CCP as the evil demons that they are, and free Lao Beijing, or Lao Beijing to free themselves, because AI is only enslaving them more. But on another, this gets to the concept of accelerationist. And so for everybody this morning, get your number two pencil out and write down the word accelerationist. Joe Allen and I have talked about that over the last couple of years, but it is a piece of nomenclature and a concept that it's very important, I think, for you to understand. Number one, a lot of the things I think you're going to see going around President Trump is that you're going to start seeing people come into his orbit as it becomes more evident he's going to be president of the United States, that are towards the accelerationist part of the what I call techno-feudalism. Because I think we've gone past late-stage capitalism. We are now entering an era of techno-feudalism, where the sociopathic overlords in Silicon Valley are driving the agenda of not just the nation, not just the world, but mankind. I want to tie this also to what you just saw, this clip, because something very shocking happened this week. A report came out kind of from the government that said, and you just heard him right there, that, hey, when you really look at it, you have all these accelerationists from like the executive order Biden signed last year across the board that have the pedal to the metal, not just on artificial intelligence, but other aspects of these vectors that converge into the singularity. And guess what? Maybe their security of these things is not what people say it's going to be. On top of that, the last dot I will put up to connect and then turn it over to our own Joe Allen is that Elon Musk, one of my favorites, right, the man-child, a great guy to have in charge of, like, world destiny, comes out and says, hey, I think as I'm seeing it, and remember, Tesla's been turned into an artificial intelligence company, according to him. He's got the chips he's putting in people's brains right now, which he said he would never do, but he's putting chips in brains right now. He said, hey, guess what? I actually think we may be ahead of schedule in, you know, 2029, which is 5 years away, will be when we're at artificial general intelligence. Now, that report, people are saying, and when we hit that, this could be the beginning of an extinction level event for mankind. Not me saying it, not Joe Allen saying it. These are experts that are working on this that are incentivized to be accelerationists. They're incentivized through ownership of stock, through opportunities they get, the revenue they're going to get for being held up in the scientific and technological community. That's where they're saying, Joe, we got about a minute or so on this side. I'm going to hold you over. This topic's so important. Am I off base and connecting and putting any of that on the table for you to then tie it all together?
Absolutely. That's the landscape we are looking at. You know, the concept of AGI is so slippery. A minute definitely won't do it. I am much less worried about AGI becoming sentient and killing everyone than I am these companies creating something that is held up as having greater authority than human beings, and that they are presently, right now, without any restraint whatsoever, deploying all sorts of accelerated systems with no thought whatsoever as to what the end consequence will be for us, as opposed to their bottom line. The people who are trying to put the brakes on this, I think, are the wise ones in the room. Absolutely.
But the wise ones, I'm going to hold you through, so you don't have to do it in a minute. The wise ones, because your book, Dark Aeon, and the reason we brought you over, three or four years ago, is I said this is going to be the most important inflection point of our time. Politically, it will be known as the Age of Trump. But overall, 100 years from now, this is going to be the singularity. This is going to be the inflection point between Homo sapien and Homo sapien plus. That's what Dark Aeon is about. And, you know, I consider myself almost a Luddite right now. But when we get back, this at the end of the day is a spiritual war. And what we these accelerationists across the board, Peter Thiel and Elon Musk and all these guys, and they're probably the least offensive of the accelerationists, but they are accelerationists. They're summoning the demon. They're summoning the demon. And when that demon's summoned, you ain't going to put it back in the bottle. It's going to be stalking the earth. And I'm telling you, we are hurtling towards this. And this report this week and what's going on, if you just sit there, see what you see, because it's right in front of your face of what is happening here. Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break. We're going to return. We got Joe Allen. We're also going to hopefully have Naomi. Big event at the Supreme Court on Monday. We're going to talk about Israel. The Democrats throwing the defense of Israel under the bus. We're going to get to all of it in the second hour. Stick around. Short break. 90 seconds. Joe Allen back with us.
True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a Done with Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, Visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
.com, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Use the code WARROOM at checkout to save 67% of your first shipment. That's code WARROOM at checkout to save 67%. And do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.